provided that you already have the text, and I'll put the text in the screen, Be'ezras Hashem, I'll just read a few paragraphs, just a few places that I chose. To be honest, I feel more comfortable with the original one, which is in Yiddish. Of course, I'm not going to read it in Yiddish, but I chose a few parts, just a few things that I underlined that we're going to read, so to speak, inside. I'll try to find them in the English one, so you read it together with me. And I can also see if I don't have some words in English, I'll have it over there in the text. And then we'll discuss about this text. This text comes from different talks that the Rebbe offered in 1983, 1984, in the day of Yutes Kislev, of 90th of Kislev. Now, you have to understand that in those years, like the 80s, middle 80s, there were at least 4 to 5,000 people in 770, in the place where the Rebbe actually talked and prayed, etc., etc., listening to the Rebbe. In this particular case, probably, I don't know exactly, but probably it was not Shabbos. It was not a day that is impossible to record and everything. So they recorded the Rebbe. Probably they even they have the images of the Rebbe, etc., etc., the films of the Rebbe, etc., giving these talks. These are not the exact words that the Rebbe said. These words are taken from the talks of the Rebbe, worked out. They offer this talk to the Rebbe. The Rebbe corrected places, added notes, etc., etc. And then he said, okay, I want you to print this. This is my words, so to speak. This is what I say. This is my idea. Okay, to understand how this worked, actually. There's a lot more to say. This is at least enough for what we're going to learn. Now we understand what we're going to learn. One more detail, and then we start. Again, around 4,000 to 5,000 people listening to the Rebbe. Most of them, I would say at least 90%, very religious Jews, Chabadnikim, like Hasidim of Chabad, some of them really big rabbis, some of them sat behind the Rebbe, some of them in front of the Rebbe. Like, this was one of the most special times in the headquarters of Chabad in Brooklyn, New York, 770 Eastern Parkway, etc., etc. One of the most important moments of the year. And everybody was eager to listen what the Rebbe was to listen to the Rebbe, to the new Hasidus. He was going to new Torah, so to speak, he was going to share, etc., etc. And here we have, and this is not the only year that this happened many years, the Rebbe is talking about non-Jews. Again, imagine, you have 5,000 people listen to you, they want to hear the deepest things you have to say, and they can get it, they understand it, and still the Rebbe is talking about non-Jews. Like, go influence non-Jews. The rabbis were like, I don't even talk English, you know, I just speak Yiddish. What do you want me to do? I can't. The Rebbe was very, very insistent with this. And again, in this particular time of the year, you can say, hey, what? Once a year he spoke about this, whatever, when there was nobody over there. No. You're talking about the highest time of the year. This is what he's talking about. Go teach non-Jews. Having said all of that, let's go to the text itself. Just a second. Okay, here's the text. Let's learn a few parts together. First of all, when the Alter Rebbe was liberated, again, I'm assuming you already learned the text, you already read the text, and I'm just moving and taking a few parts. When the Alter Rebbe was liberated, he wrote a letter. And this letter was written to two big rabbis, Levi Yitzchok of Verdichev, and also to Rebbe Baruch de Mezhivush. And this is the content of the letter I'm going to read. The Lord has wrought wonders and performed great deeds in the land, like in the earth, whatever. He has magnified and sanctified his great and holy name, which has been exalted and sanctified in the eyes of the multitudes. He's talking about not necessarily Jews, and particularly in the eyes of all the ministers and nations. He's clearly the Alter Rebbe talking about non-Jews in all the provinces of the king. Even in their eyes, the matter is wondrous and astonishing. Like, it's incredible that this guy was released. They responded and declared regarding this. They means the non-Jews in Russia in this particular case. This is surely from the Lord. It is wondrous in our eyes. Wow, it's incredible. This is what the Alter Rebbe wrote. Now, when the Alter Rebbe wrote, he was very, very precise. His teachings are very, very precise. And furthermore, he's writing this letter to two of his greatest colleagues, so to speak. Again, Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, Rebbe Baruch Mejibush. They didn't really care about what the non-Jews would say about the liberation of the Alter Rebbe. Okay, so non-Jews, whatever. This is full of non-Jews. You know, what do I care? No. The Alter Rebbe is telling them. The non-Jews said, wow, this is great. Amazing. He was liberated, released, etc., etc. So the Rebbe, when I said the Rebbe means the author, so to speak, of the talks, and the Alter Rebbe is the one that was actually imprisoned and then liberated, the Rebbe asks a very simple question. Very simple question. We know why was the Alter Rebbe actually imprisoned. I explained in the introduction the known, so to speak, reason. But there's another reason which is a little bit deeper. There was a, in Hebrew you call it kitrug, there was an accusation in heavens, a heavenly accusation, whether Hasidus had to be actually shared openly or not. The Alter Rebbe had a very specific way of teaching Hasidus, in a way that the mind understands, the heart can feel it, not just small ideas and do whatever you can. If you understand, fine. If you don't understand, I'm sorry. No. The Alter Rebbe spoke and explained and explained and explained. This generated an accusation against him, a spiritual thing. This spiritual accusation expressed itself in a way that the Russians put him in prison, etc. But the real thing was not that the Russians put him in prison. The real thing was Hasidus should not be continued to be taught this particular way. Stop. To the point that there's a story that the Alter Rebbe was in prison. It was a very small place. And the tradition is that the Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid of Mezrich, both of them passed away already by this time, they appeared in his cell in prison, and they told him that this idea, why are you in prison? Because you're teaching, so to speak, too much. And the Alter Rebbe asked, should I stop? And they both answered, no. Not only you should not stop, you should actually increase. And they left. So this means that there was a spiritual thing over here happening. And the question that the Rebbe poses is, wait a second, why write about the non-Jews in such a letter when we're talking about something very deep and very spiritual, etc., etc.? And furthermore, to these two rabbis, what do they care about the non-Jews? Why is the Alter Rebbe writing this in the letter? That's basically the question that launches, so to speak, the whole thing, the whole explanation. Then the Rebbe, I'm going to jump it on purpose. We're going to go to the questions later. I'm going to jump it and start reading. Wait a second. Yeah, Gimel, I'm going to jump a few things. We're going to start reading in Dalet. What is Dalet? I jumped it. Dalet. Okay, over here. This is where we're going to start reading. Why am I jumping the other parts? Not because they're not important. They are actually important. If the Rebbe saw it important, so that's why they're there. However, the Rebbe is asking a secondary question and basically giving a secondary answer. And then he says, I'm going to give you the answer. So, okay, you go read the secondary question, secondary answer. You can read it by yourself. Let's move on. So, first of all, the Rebbe says, the Rebbe brings a story, famous story by the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov wrote a letter where he wrote that he had, in Hebrew we call it Aliyas HaNeshama. The Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidism went to the heavens and he found over there Mashiach, Messiah. And he asked him, when are you coming? When will the Master come? Come on, we're waiting for you. And the Mashiach replied, when that's what Mashiach said actually, when your wellsprings will spread outwards. That's what Mashiach answered. So we see that there's a very deep connection between people, and I mean people all around the world, learn Hasidus with the coming of Mashiach. Like one thing is depending on the other. When outward, even something that calls himself, I'm really out of this, out of Judaism, I don't care, I'm not even a Jew. Okay, when that level, so to speak, understands the wellsprings of Hasidus, that's when Mashiach comes. So we see clearly that this whole idea of teaching Hasidus to non-Jews is not something, this rabbi is teaching weird things. I don't know if this is right or not. Okay, the coming of Mashiach is dependent on learning these ideas. Of course, I should say this, there are certain ideas that are not for non-Jews, for many reasons, doesn't matter right now, but most of the ideas really relate to non-Jews also. Why? Because after all, Hasidus, again, is the deepest part of the Torah, and is the deepest part of the will of God, is the deepest part of God, and that has relationship to everybody. Any human being has and can develop and can enhance, whatever, his connection to God, because he's a godly creature. We're all godly creatures. But either you know your creator, and you, whatever you can, understand, you understand of your creator or not. That's your decision. But the tools, so to speak, are there for you, for each person, to know and understand as much as he can, because we are creatures and limited, etc., etc., our creator. That's Hasidus. So, first of all, the Rebbe brings this idea of what the Baal Shem Tov said about Hasidus. Now, just as, I'm jumping a few parts, just let's go to Hey. Just as it can be said, I'm not going to read the whole paragraph, but this is where we're standing, so to speak. Just as when we went out of Egypt, the Torah says that there's a connection. The connection comes from a verse. Here's the verse over here. As in the days of Exodus from the land of Egypt, I will show you wonders. God will show us wonders when Mashiach comes, etc., etc. So the Torah itself connects the going out of Egypt with coming of Mashiach. So now we understood that spreading out Hasidus, that's related to coming Mashiach. Now, to coming of Mashiach. Now, what's the redemption from Egypt, the Exodus from Egypt? How did it work? Because by understanding how that worked, we will understand how coming of Mashiach actually works. Because again, the Torah relates these two things. But let's see. The Rebbe brings the idea, very interesting, that when God took out the Jews from Egypt, it wasn't just a redemption for Jews. In other words, it wasn't only that Jews recognized God, and therefore they were released and everybody's happy. No. The non-Jews also recognized God. In that particular case, was Egypt. They themselves, as the verse says, Pharaoh, look at these words, Pharaoh said, When started the whole thing of Egypt, I don't know who Hashem is. I don't know who God is. What are you talking about? Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to take out the Jews from Egypt, and Pharaoh says, I don't know what you're talking about. This God told you who's God? I don't know God. However, when the whole Exodus actually finished, the Egyptians ended up recognizing that God exists, as it says in the verse, that one of the reasons why God wanted to take out the Jews from Egypt is, and Egypt shall know that I am Hashem. So, wait a second. If you're going to kill all the Egyptians, like God could have done like this, kill all the Egyptians, take out the Jews, and everybody's happy. No. I don't want to kill Egyptians. I want them to understand, would say God. Of course, I'm not God, but I want them to understand that I am God. I'm the boss over here. So the point over here of the coming out of Egypt was not just to destroy, so to speak, Egypt. No, for them to understand that there's a God, there's a ruler, etc., etc. And this in itself, the Rebbe says, is like divided into two parts. Of course, there's a part of destroying, because there were 10 plagues and many people died, etc., etc. That's true. But then there's a part of knowing. And the Rebbe says, this is the difference between the Exodus from Egypt, the redemption from Egypt, and the final redemption with Mashiach. The redemption from Egypt was about breaking certain things in Egypt, so they would recognize. But the redemption with Mashiach is not about breaking anything. We don't need to break. We need actually to fix. We need actually to show, to teach, to express, etc., etc. So that's the idea that the Rebbe brings, that just as in the coming out of Egypt, many, many people recognize that there's a God, there's a ruler, etc., etc., the same thing will happen in the coming of Mashiach. And this means that the wellsprings of Hasidus, the connection to the idea of the Baal Shem Tov, should be spread out all over the place, all around, And basically, going back to the letter of the Altrebe said clearly, all the in the eyes of the nations, they will actually perceive and understand, Mehashem Yatzah Adavar. This came from God. So you see why the Altrebe wrote the letter. I jumped many, many things. We're going to go deeper in a second, but to understand, like, in general, the teaching, and then we're going to go to a few details that are very, very interesting. Now, again, the Altrebe wrote in his letter, I'm going to the end, so to speak, of the whole thing. The Altrebe wrote in his letter that, let's go back, actually, to the beginning, so we can read the text. Particularly in the eyes of all the ministers and nations, in all provinces of the king, even in their eyes, the matter was wondrous and astonishing. They responded and declared regarding this, this is surely from the Lord. It is wondrous in our eyes. Why did the Altrebe write this? Again, because the point of the 19th of Kislev is not just that the Jews should have Hasidus in order to connect to God, etc., etc. No, no, no. That even the non-Jews should also recognize Hashem, should recognize God. And in this thing, the Rebbe goes into a very specific detail. Let's go to Zion, to the 7th chapter. I'm suddenly jumping back and forth, but I think it's going to be easier to understand like this. Okay, let's start from here. The future redemption, a similar reward, renewal, I'm sorry, but in a much higher manner, will occur in the future, not just in Egypt, there was a recognition of God, etc., etc., but also in the Geula, in the redemption of the future. In addition to the redemption of Israel, like the Jewish people, the Torah, the Holy One, etc., etc., there will also be an influence on the world in general, on all the nations of the world. It's talking about the non-Jews, clearly. As is explicitly stated in many verses and in prophecies of redemption. The Rebbe brought before the famous verse from Zephaniah. Zephaniah in the 3rd chapter, I think it's verse 9, he talks about everybody serving God, shoulder to shoulder, everybody together. And then he brings also the verses that say that the flesh is going to see God. What is he talking about? The Jews and non-Jews, everybody, all the flesh will see God. And the Rambam himself writes, the Rebbe is quoting the Rambam because it's a law. So it's even higher than just explanations. The world will be rectified, for then I will turn to the nations, pure language, this is Zephaniah, that they may all call upon the name of Hashem, Havaye. Havaye means a way, one particular expression of God that I'll explain in a minute, to serve him in one accord, everybody together, etc. The influence on all the nations of the world is not merely an additional detail. Like, okay, the Jews are going to receive redemption, and you know what? Okay, also the non-Jews will receive something. All right. No, no, no. That's not the point. That they will merit in the coming of Mashiach, just an additional thing. No, it is an essential matter connected to the very essence of redemption. Why? Because at that time, the Shekhinah, the presence of God, so to speak, will emerge from exile, and through this, the truth of Havaye, I'll explain this in a minute, will be revealed. And the Rambam writes, all that exists, the Rebbe is quoting the Rambam, in the heavens, in the earth, and everything in between only exists only because of the truth of his existence. The truth of his existence is the name Havaye, again, I'll explain, bear with me, which is above the nature of the world. What is he saying? There are two expressions, basically, of God. It can be explained in a deeper way, but basically it's two expressions. One expression is God invested in the nature. This is called usually Elohim, the Lord. The Lord means that God rules, God is the boss, God creates everything, etc., but we don't see him. God himself expresses in a way that he is hidden from the creature for the creature to exist. This is called, again, Elohim, usually translated as the Lord, because if you play a little bit with the word Elohim and you add up the Hebrew letters of the word, it comes out the number 86. And if you take the word Hateva, which means the nature, and you play with the word, the letters, I'm sorry, and you add up the letters, also comes up to 86. That means that Hateva hu Elohim, what we see as nature, the concealment of the presence of God, because you open your eyes and you don't see God, that is the purpose, so to speak, that is the work of the name Elohim. One of the names of God, one of the expressions of God. But then there's another expression, the word, the letter I'm sorry, the name of God with four letters, the name Havaye, that it's usually called like that. The word Havaye in itself doesn't mean anything, forget it, no meaning at all. It's just a way of referring to one of the names of God, the name of God with four letters, etc., etc. That represents infinity, exactly opposite of Elohim. Why is infinity? Because the name Havaye, which is, again, the name of four letters, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, represents Hoyo, Hoive, Ve'ie. He was, he is, and he will be. Transcending time and space and everything. Infinity. So, with this information, what will happen when Mashiach comes? The name Havaye will be revealed. The name Elohim is already available, so to speak. We can all get it, because anyway, you see the nature, and you're seeing the name of God, invested in the nature, you're just not seeing God, because that's the whole purpose, not to see God in order to give us space to work and do, etc., and refine ourselves. But once Mashiach comes, speedily in our days, we will see the name of Havaye. How do you know that? We will see the infinity of God. How do you know that? Look at the verses. The verses that the Rebbe brings over here says, and the glory of Havaye, specifically not Shem Elohim, not the name Elohim, will be revealed. And all flesh together shall see that the mouth of Havaye spoke. But flesh means flesh, like my hand will see. What do you mean? Your eyes see. No. Flesh will see. What does that mean? I have no idea. I'm also waiting for this. However, that's what it says. I mean, I didn't make it. It's a prophet, and he's saying this. And this is what the Rambam refers to in this text that we just learned as the truth of Hashem, the truth of existence. Right now, we don't see with our fleshike oigen, with the flesh eyes, we don't see the truth of existence. We see existence. And we have to think, oh, there's God behind it. Okay, a whole thing. Very nice. Very interesting. Hasidus talks about it a lot, of course. And in this particular talk, the Rebbe emphasizes that people should go learn the second part of Tanya. So it is actually in the app, in the Brain Neach app, you have an adaptation that I wrote of the second part of Tanya, which talks about this idea of truth of existence, of Havaye, Elohim, okay, these whole mystical things. He talks about it over there. That you can learn it and try to understand that what you see is not really what it is. You see a world, a physical world, but what's behind it? The presence of God, infinity. Okay, very nice. Go learn. You have the material, so to speak. You have the tools. Go learn. But the point is that's going to be revealed when Mashiach comes. And again, the Alter Rebbe wrote in the letter, is difficult, in the English version of the letter, it's very difficult to see. However, what is it? Okay, here it is. In the original version of the letter, when it says, this is surely from the Lord, over here, the Alter Rebbe wrote, which name of God? Havaye. So even the Russians, after the liberation of the Alter Rebbe, after all the stories that we can argue and then talk about hours, about the imprisonment of the Alter Rebbe, etc., etc., after all of that, they recognized. What did they recognize? Havaye. The infinity of God. The same thing happens. I'm jumping back and forth. I'm so sorry for this, but I think it's important and easier to understand. Same thing happens with Egypt. Exactly the same. When the Egyptians, where is this? No, it's not in base. Have to be later. Okay, place in Egypt. When the Egyptians recognized God, here it is. What's the language of the verse that God is saying, I want people to recognize me. What does it mean, me? I am Hashem. It says Havaye. It doesn't say Elohim in the Torah. So God was expecting the Egyptians to recognize the infinity of God through the plagues. Okay, in that particular case, the way of working was breaking. Okay, very nice. But that's not the way of working today. The way of working today is, like the Baal Shem Tov said, we should spread out the wellsprings of Hasidus outside, that people should know God. And furthermore, just to like give it a finish, when Pharaoh first heard that God wanted to take out the Jews from Egypt, what did he say? Now let's look at the Hebrew part Paro said, "Lo yodaiti yesavaye." I don't know the infinity of God. I know Elohim. Actually, if you see when Yosef Hatzadik was talking to Pharaoh, he said to Pharaoh, "Elohim yanes shlem paro." When Yosef interpreted the chalom, how do you say the what he saw at night? I forgot the word. The dreams. When Yosef interpreted the dreams for Pharaoh, he said that God, that means Elohim, will explain to Pharaoh what these dreams mean. And Pharaoh didn't ask, "Who is Elohim?" "I don't know Elohim." Pharaoh didn't say anything. He just was waiting for the interpretation. That means Pharaoh knew perfectly what Elohim was. The nature, the laws of the nature, there's a God behind it. He knew it perfectly. However, when Moshe Rabbeinu came, and some opinions say it was the same Pharaoh, some opinions say it wasn't, but whatever. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to Pharaoh and told him that God wants to take out the Jews from Egypt, he said, "I don't know who God is." Wait a second. But Yosef, you knew, and now you don't know? It's two different names of God. By Yosef, it was the name Elohim. He understood Pharaoh, understood perfectly the laws of nature, and that there's a godly thing behind it. He's hidden, whatever, etc., etc. But when Moshe was talking about the infinity of God, Pharaoh said, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't get it. No. I don't understand. Lo yadayti es Hashem. I don't know Havaye." But Hashem wanted to be known in Egypt. The same thing, exact same thing happens in today, so to speak, in our times, to reveal the presence of God, which is the purpose, one of the ideas of Hasidus. We have to teach the non-Jews that there's a God, but it's not just that. And this is, I think, one of the most strong novelties of this particular talk. Non-Jews should not only have faith that there's a God. They should have yediyah, they should understand knowledge of God. And in order to have knowledge of God, you better sit and learn. And there's a lot to learn, of course. Hasidus is very, very broad, but whatever. There's a lot to learn. You have to understand God. You have to know God. Because if you just believe in God, that's very nice. But there's something. It is something like transcendent. Yeah, it's above, over there. I believe in that. Can you explain to me? Not really. It's over there. I don't know. That's belief. That's very nice. It is very important. But it's not enough. Why not? Because we live in a rational world. We have brains on top of, inside our heads. Hopefully, we have brains. And the brain also has to understand, also has to participate in the service of God. If you say, "I just have faith, oh, my faith is so strong in God and the Lord of the world," very nice. But your brain is not participating in that. Actually, on the opposite is true. When you say faith, brain is out. Brain is out. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I have faith. But the Alter Rebbe, one of the main things of Hasidus Chabad in particular, that's actually why it's called Chabad, Chochmah, Bina, and Das, the three levels of understanding and the wisdom, understanding and comprehension, whatever, intellectual ideas. One of the main things of Chabad is that the brain should also understand, should also participate in the service of God. And not only that, but it should come down to the heart. When the brain understands, that can generate feelings in the heart. So the heart also has to participate in the service of God. And moreover, not just that, the whole body has to participate in the service of God. We don't go to the mountains, you know, like in Nepal, whatever, those guys, they go to the mountains and they get away from everybody and everything, and they serve their God, whatever. No, we don't do that. We want to be in the creation, but still serve God in the creation itself. That's really bringing down God as low as you can, so to speak. That's what the Rebbe explains over here, and that's the reason why, to finish, that's the reason why the Alter Rebbe wrote about the non-Jews to these two rabbis. So they should also know, hey, the message, or at least one of the messages, of course, not the only one, but one of the messages of the 19th of Kislev is, hey, we have to take this knowledge, and it's actually written in the Rambam, in the laws, etc., we have to take the message of Judaism for non-Jews. And again, it's the Alter Rebbe talking, highest of highest, and talking to two highest of highest rabbis. hey, we have to deal with this also. Don't forget it. And again, just to finish, the Rebbe, in the most, so to speak, holy day of Hasidus, in front of thousands of people, was talking about this, telling these people, hey guys, go and do this. Go and teach the non-Jews that there's a God, that they should know God, and they should serve God, and so on, with the seven commandments and other ramifications, etc., etc.